Welcome back to another episode of On a Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we go more in depth into what's in the articles at koabd.com or catherinecolleen.com. Check them out there. You can send your questions in to questions@koabd.com, and I will answer them here on the podcast. If you want to be anonymous, just say so. You can also send in your questions by filling out the form and at the community page at the website. So let us know how we can help, because that is why we are here. Peace will only be found inside each of us, one by one, and that's what we are here to make happen. So today we're going to talk about the neuroscience of reading people through voice and writing, and some huge lessons that for me come out of some recent research. So, you know, I'm a tech geek. I love the research. And now people reading is not a new science, right? This is not new. So researchers in areas such as micro expressions, body language, they've made great strides for decades. And in fact, I got to have lunch once with Paul Eckert. It was amazing, the pioneer of micro expressions. And it's really fascinating stuff. So if you're not familiar with these areas, let me go into it just a little bit now. Body language, most of us are familiar with it, right? The way in which someone holds themselves, the way they sit, are their shoulders hunched forward or are they up and confident? Are they standing tall? Or do they kind of slouch? Crossed legs or not crossed legs? Crossed arms or not crossed arms? We can have very closed off postures. We can have very open postures. And micro expressions is, I would call it a little subset. It's not entirely body language, but it's facial expressions. And we control our facial expressions. We can consciously choose to smile or scowl or frown or whatever, or look really excited or really interested. And we control our facial expressions all the time. But here's the thing. You can't control them 100% of the time. The signaling time between your face and your brain has these gaps in it of just a microsecond, just a fraction of a second gap between what you tell your face to do and your face actually doing that. And what happens in that fraction of a second gap when you're changing expressions is your face will express what it's truly feeling. And you cannot control it. And this is the age of video, right? So you take a video. And you can just Google this, micro expressions. And you'll see examples of slowed down video, and they'll freeze frame on that one frame that shows the true expression of what somebody's feeling. And it is creepy because it is there. And micro expressions are amazing. You can train yourself to notice them. You can train yourself to recognize them. And there's some great training programs out there. Very cool stuff. So that's not really new. It's fascinating. It's very cool. It's worth your time, but it's not new. So these are visual signals. And these are signals that we have evolved as a species to recognize pretty well. So what about auditory signals? Right? What about sounds of people in people's voices? It makes sense that tone of voice can convey a lot of information. Thanks for Dr. Hassan of Princeton University. We know now that voice also carries the state of mind of the speaker. And I'm not just talking about tone. So Dr. Hassan found that in a, quote, good listener, which means someone who feels that they understood what they just heard, the listener's brain activity will mimic that of the speaker they are listening to. And I want to pause right there on that fact. their brain activity. So if you're listening to someone and you're listening to understand, you're not tuning them out, your brain activity will mimic their brain activity. This is a lot more than just tone or emotion. What you're getting is the full state of mind of the speaker, literally, is becoming your state of mind. So this is really, really interesting stuff. So in these experiments, the subjects are listening to a recording. The speaker is nowhere to be seen, so that you don't have visual cues, you don't have body language, you don't have micro expressions. All you have is the recorded voice. And still, the listener, with nothing but the recorded sound of the speaker's voice, will mimic the speaker's brain patterns. So the listener, in essence, this is my own conclusion here, is effectively putting themselves in the shoes of the speaker, and in doing so, triggers not just empathy for the speaker's situation, but actually mimics the brain patterns of that speaker. Now, this is not automatic. If there's something just playing in the background, or even just playing right in front of you, you will not necessarily cause your brain to mimic the patterns of the speaker. You have to choose to listen. You have to choose to want to understand. But if you're listening for understanding, your brain will mimic theirs. It's a little bit creepy. So keep in mind that because the speaker was not in the room, or they weren't on video, it was an audio file, the information that the listener gathers cannot come from pheromones or body language or looks, micro expressions, or any of that. It all has to come from the voice. So encoded in our voices is enough information for the listener to mimic our brain patterns and truly put themselves in our state of mind. So I suspect that we transmit more than just state of mind. I suspect that we also transmit intention and the truth of our current selves, which you might say that, well, that's the same thing. Maybe it is. But the reason that I suspect this is my well-tuned gut instinct for what people are really dealing with. And it's not magic. I believe it's just signals that we send over visual and auditory and other channels, which are then processed through the brain. So I sent Dr. Hassan an email to ask if he thought he would see the same effect with written communication instead of spoken. What if, instead of listening to an audio recording of someone telling a story, what if they were reading the story? Did he think they would get the same result? And he wrote me back right away. It was very cool. Thank you, Dr. Hassan. He says that they already tried it and they got similar results. That is, the reader mimicked the brain patterns of the writer. To what degree the reader can infer the state of mind of the writer, that is emotion, intention, what they're not saying, or subconscious truth, is debatable, but the results blew me away, that the brain patterns are still going to be the same. If you want to dig into it, just look up Dr. Hassan at Princeton University. He has his own titled lab there, with lots of really fascinating research you can dig into. So we often say that you should not infer tone from writing, as you may get it wrong, but this study actually suggests otherwise. These studies, if you take them together, suggest to me that if you choose to listen for understanding, that is if you tune into this person, you can mimic and therefore infer more about their state of mind of that speaker or writer than you might expect. So I take four big conclusions from this. One, what you read, watch, and listen to alters your brain waves and your neural structure. That's a fact. So when we say that when you listen to someone, you're mimicking their brain patterns, That means you're mimicking their brain waves and you're mimicking the neural structure in that they have in their head. You're creating it in yours. So what you read, watch, and listen alters your brain waves and your neural structure. Brain waves are temporary. Neural structure is not. So be careful what you give that kind of power to. Be careful what you choose to ingest by reading, watching, and listening. The second big conclusion, if you're not terrified enough, is that you must choose to tune into others for understanding. You have to choose to do it. If somebody just walks up to you and starts talking to you, you may be thinking about something else and tuning them out. And in that case, you will not mimic their brain waves and their neural structure. You have to choose to tune into others for understanding. Passive listening will not work. So when you are speaking with someone or listening to someone or reading something that somebody wrote and you want to really get into their state of mind and you want to mimic their neural structure, then choose to tune in. Likewise, you can choose to tune out. That sometimes is a good thing to do. So the third conclusion is trust your gut instinct about the state of mind of that speaker or writer, because you're probably right. Probably. We could be wrong. But the more you use it, the better your gut instinct will be. And fourth, choose your words carefully. You're not just conveying your idea. You're conveying your state of mind, which may be more than you care to reveal. This is maybe more than I care to reveal right now. But here we are. So right now, as I'm speaking, your brain waves and your neural structure are mimicking mine, you poor thing. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, I don't know. But that's really it. So number one, what you read, watch, and listen alters your brain waves and your neural structure. So be careful what you give that kind of power to. Second, you must choose to tune in. You have a choice, tune in or tune out. Three, trust your gut instinct about the state of mind of this person. And four, choose your words carefully. What are you transmitting when you're writing that Facebook post or that tweet? Be careful out there, kids. It's a terrifying world. So this was a fun topic because I like the idea of reading people, and I seem to be able to see people's truth lately. And I wanted to know the neuroscience behind that, so that's why I dove into this topic. And there is real established neuroscience, real research with MRI evidence of why it is that we are able to read each other at the depth that we are. Very cool stuff. So thanks for joining us on this topic. If you have questions, you can send them in to questions@koabd.com, or you can fill out the form on the community page at the website at katherinecolleen.com. You can also go to koabd.com, and it will take you over to katherinecolleen.com and my web studio where I live. So thanks for joining us today. I hope this was helpful. Let us know how we can help you, because that's why I'm here. We'll see you next time.